Most Mountain West states have legalized marijuana in some form, but the rules are different on tribal lands, and that could make it harder for tribes to get into this multi-billion dollar industry. Emma Gibson of the Mountain West News Bureau reports.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Wolpovi.
Hi, thank you.
The start of recreational cannabis sales in New Mexico led to many grand openings across the state this year, but few popped up in the almost two dozen pueblos and tribal nations across the state. Wolpovi Cannabis is a new addition to the Pueblo of Powake, north of Santa Fe.
We have flowers, pre-rolls, edibles, some concentrates.
On opening day, nearly 500 people visited Wolpovi, which means medicine flower in Tewa. One man didn't want to give his name, but he allowed me to follow along as he shopped and talked to employees.
It's definitely a step ahead for the Pueblo man.
Oh, it's historic.
It's a huge step towards our sovereignty.
Still, this activity is in a gray zone of sorts. Tribal lands are under federal law, which still considers cannabis illegal.
This day, right now, we're being discriminated against.
That's Governor Craig Quanchello of the Pueblo of Picaris. As a COVID-19 precaution, we talked over a scratchy Zoom call.
And also, now that the state is a recreational state, I mean, we are still considered New Mexicans, but being a New Mexican living in Picaris, you're not allowed to engage in that.
Federal policies shifted under the Obama and Trump administrations, so tribes may be hesitating to open dispensaries or growing facilities within their own lands, especially since many enforcement decisions are left to U.S. attorneys across the region.
All the other U.S. attorneys, it's at their discretion should they choose to prosecute, engage into cannabis, right? It's at their discretion.
Picaris ventured into medical cannabis several years ago after New Mexico legalized that. It wasn't too long before their grove of about 30 or so plants was raided by the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs. Picaris wasn't prosecuted, but they lost their investment. Here's Picaris lawyer Richard Hughes on the BIA's law enforcement agency.
They obviously have some special place in their hearts and souls for cannabis violations.
The BIA and the U.S. Attorney for New Mexico declined interviews for this story. In Nevada, the Las Vegas Paiute tribe's cannabis business is called Nuwu, which means the people in Southern Paiute. Their two dispensaries near Las Vegas see as many as 4,000 customers a day. Chairwoman Darren Pete says the tribe has a great working relationship with the Bureau of Indian Affairs and other federal agencies.
I feel like the tribe's sovereignty has been strengthened in the process. That is, the tribe has proven over and over in its ability to govern itself and act as a responsible governmental neighbor to other sovereigns.
She says the tribe is planning a large growing operation, and they're not worried about the feds pushing back. A Nevada law passed in 2017 lets tribes open their own cannabis stores. New Mexico is trying to give state-level protections to some of its pueblos, too. Though federal law still applies on tribal lands, the governor signed intergovernmental agreements with the pueblos of Powake and Picaris to ease their entry into the recreational cannabis industry. It could be an economic boon to Picaris, a non-gaming tribe.
I think the most meaningful thing about the IGA from our point of view is just for New Mexico to recognize our sovereignty and allow us to exercise our sovereignty.
Quanchello hopes the agreement will keep the feds out of the Pueblo of Picaris' plans, like it has for the Las Vegas Paiute tribe. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Gibson.
And a note, reporter Caleb Rodell contributed to that story as well. The British Museum in London holds millions of treasures from African artifacts to Greek sculptures. For a young woman from our region, a feathered beaded headdress is the most meaningful, and she wants it returned to her tribe. Wyoming Public Radio's Taylor Stagner reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
The headdress, with dozens of eagle feathers and triangular beadwork, once belonged to the Northern Arapaho leader, Chief Yellow Calf. Allison White Eagle Sounding Sides is one of his descendants, and when she laid eyes on it, she was struck by emotion.
It was sorrow. It was gratitude. It was almost, it was like there was even a sense of relief, like, oh man, like do you, I'm thankful that I'm here.
She planned for months for the chance to see the headdress. She flew to London from her home in Wyoming, more than 4,000 miles away. And though the headdress was not on display, she got to look at it in a museum office.
I thought about the love and the prayers that went into the making of that headdress. You know, who prayed for him while they were making it. And I thought about what it must have meant to him when he lost it.
It's unclear how the headdress got to the British Museum. White Eagle Sounding Sides has been told that it was a gift to someone on the set of a 1923 silent film called The Covered Wagon. But she's also hearing from her community that the piece was stolen.
I find it hard to believe that this headdress was something that he was willing to give away, considering how much this headdress means to our people.
Similar questions have been raised about items in many museums, especially those from indigenous and colonized peoples, where many valuables were either stolen or given under extreme duress. The discussion is playing out in our region, too. The University of Montana recently repatriated a drum, cradleboard, and other items to the Fort Peck tribe. And after the University of North Dakota found boxes of tribal remains this summer, it contacted 13 tribes to identify them.
But that takes time and money to look at these things, and a lot of museums don't have those resources.
That's Nicole Crawford, curator at the University of Wyoming's museum. She helped create Stealing Culture, a group that aims to get pieces back to communities faster. She says museum collections were born from colonialism.
Somebody would go around and collect things. Think of Napoleon in the Louvre or the British Museum. There's a joke that says, name something that seems British but really isn't, and it's the British Museum.
Stealing Culture is helping White Eagle Sounding Sides as she works to get the headdress back to the Wind River Reservation. Officials of the British Museum declined an interview. In an email, they said, quote, "At present, we did not have any repatriation requests from the American Mountain West." They also say that establishing an object's history has been a key part of the acquisition process. But museums hold on to pieces if there's no recorded history, also known as provenance.
Law has the equivalent that is massively ahead of provenance called title. You have title to your car. You might have title to your house, but I can literally go to a courthouse and track your title all the way back to origin. And if I can't, we call that stolen.
That's University of Wyoming law professor Daryl Jackson, who is also with Stealing Culture. He says having a clear title would accurately account for items and stop museums from dragging their feet. He says at this point, museums have two options, work with or against repatriation efforts. Since White Eagle Sounding Sides has come back from London, she's researching how the headdress got there, all while finishing her law degree at the University of Wyoming.
I am so proud to be Arapaho. I'm very fortunate to be Arapaho. You know, this idea of bringing this headdress home is for the well-being of my people, the healing of my people.
She has not formally asked the British Museum to return the headdress. She plans to talk with ceremonial leaders and tribal council members to decide how to move forward. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Taylor Stagner.
You've been listening to Idaho Matters from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Now remember, you can listen to episodes of the podcast anytime, anywhere, and they're always free. Just search for Idaho Matters wherever you get your podcasts.